Please welcome Beth Marshall.
I've never been so nervous. This is a long story, and it's truer than most of my true stories I've told. Never say never. I was working retail, 23 West 45th Street, New York, New York. It's the heart of Midtown. Three blocks up, Rockefeller Center, NBC Studios. Every night at 5:30, Johnny Carson tapes The Tonight Show. It's also where Saturday Night Live got started. Remember Cheeseburger, 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 No Coke, Pepsi? The Olympia Cafe. I used to go there for pizza for lunch. It's right on 47th Street on the north side of 6th Avenue. If you look at old Saturday Night Lives, they actually have backwards in the windows, Olympia Cafe. It was a real place. It was a small retail store, just a hole in the wall, just off of 6th Avenue. We always knew the tourists because they couldn't find 6th Avenue. Turns out between 42nd Street and 50th Street, it's called Avenue of the Americas, and all the signs say Avenue of the Americas. And on every street pole, there's a flag from one of the countries in the Americas, one of the countries we haven't raped or pillaged or killed their leaders yet. We're a motley crew in our store. There's me, there's Irv. Irv's the old guy. He thought he was going to have a career in television, but it got cut short. And now he's in retail, heading up our store. There's Tony. Tony is truly married to the mob. His Uncle Joey turns out to be Joey Bonanno. Joey Bonanno was one of the early inductees into the Mob Hall of Fame. Then there's Rich, a man of few words. Whenever he says something funny, his lip in one corner comes up a little bit and you get a half a smirk and a half a smile. Rich is quiet, but one day there's a customer standing in the store looking at the shelves for 30 minutes, and Rich comes over to me and he says, "You know that guy over there? He's studying astronomy." And I look at Rich and say, "What are you talking about?" He says, "Yeah, he's taking up space." So I'm ready to laugh my head off, and I'm just holding it back and holding it back, and Rich goes like this, his little smirky smile. And then there's Paul. Paul loves the state of Maine. I never really cared about any state one way or the other, but I learned to hate the state of Maine because that's all I ever heard about how wonderful it is in the state of Maine. Did you know in 1981 there were only 29 murders in the entire state of Maine? I thought there were only 30 people who lived in the state of Maine. So to me, the averages were not all that good. But he loved the state of Maine, and he never stopped talking about it. It's a Friday afternoon. It's the middle of February, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We're all getting cabin fever. Tony happens to know that Paul likes riding on trains, and Tony likes trains, and he knows I like riding on trains. So Tony gets this idea, and he tells us, there's a train that runs from St. John's, New Brunswick, over to Montreal every night, and in the same day or same evening, there's another one that goes the opposite direction, and they cross in the middle of Maine every night. If you look at a map, you'll see the shortest way from New Brunswick to Montreal is right through the top of the middle of Maine. So Tony's like, I can shut up Paul, I can get out of town because we've all got cabin fever, and he knows I've got a pilot's license. So we're all looking at him like, you're crazy. What are you talking about? Well, this idea starts to stew and starts to build momentum. Tony looks at the train schedule. We can get on at one place in the middle of nowhere in Maine and get off at another place in the middle of nowhere in Maine and get the opposite train in the middle of the night back again. I check to see if I can get an airplane because I've got an airplane that I fly, a little four-seater down at Teterboro Airport. The airplane's available. We call rents Hertz Rent a Car. There's a car we can get in Bangor, Maine, when we get there that night. He calls the Canadian Pacific Railroad, and they say, just show up at the station. So I'm in, Tony's in, Paul is in, the airplane is in, the rent-a-car is in. Comes 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We all go down to my place on 16th Street, and for reasons I'll never really know, I've got a car in Manhattan. We drive down to Teterboro Airport. Now it's 6 o'clock, 6:30. We get the airplane all ready, and we are on our way. 10 o'clock at night, we're standing in the airport in Bangor, Maine, at the Hertz rent-a-car counter. We all pile into this car. It's the dead of night. It's clear. There's nothing but snow. We drive up this two-lane highway for 2 hours in the middle of nowhere, and the snow and the trees. And in the middle of nowhere appears this brick building. It looks like a bunker in the snow, a brick building and a parking lot and snow and trees. That's it. We are in Brownville Junction, Maine, population 616. It's freezing out. It's crystal clear. It's just one of those nights. We walk into the station, and the station is attended. There's somebody on duty at midnight on a Friday night in Brownville Junction, Maine. Turns out it's a crew change point for the railroad, so they have someone there if a train comes by and they have to change crews. So we walk in, and we say, we'd like to have a ticket round trip tonight from Brownville Junction, Maine, to Greenville, Maine, and back. And this middle-aged gentleman looks at us like, why, of course, we were expecting you. And he goes over, and we're straight out of it. You have to realize a lot of Canada was about 30 years behind everybody else at that time. And he gets out one of those little stampy machines, and he takes the ticket and goes, bump, 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 and hands us our tickets to get on the train. This station is wonderful. It is overheated. It's got a big pot-belly stove. The bottom of the stove is all glowing red. And the temperature in there is like 85 degrees when it's 13 degrees outside. We don't mind the heat because we've just been in 13-degree weather for a while. We're there at midnight now. 1 o'clock in the morning, he says, the train's on its way. It's on time. The train rolls up, and we walk on. It's straight out of the 1950s. The cars are carpeted on the inside, and we walk in, and it's like being in a movie theater. The only lights are the little lights along the floor to tell you where you're going. There's no echo because everything's carpeted. So you have this kind of like, oh, come on over here. Look, oh, that's this way. All this whispering going on because it's midnight and there's actually other people on the train. The train has a dome car, and we have to be in the dome car. It's midnight, there's nothing to see, but we have to see whatever we can in the dome car. We all shuffle our way up the little narrow stairs up into the dome car, and we all sit there. The train goes off, and we just are staring there like we can't believe we're here in the first place, and we're going to absorb whatever there is to be absorbed into our memories, and we're watching snow and trees go by. And the train is rocking back and forth, just a slow 30 miles an hour. Ba-bump, 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 ba-bump. And of course, it's trying to rock us to sleep, and we are so pumped, we're not falling asleep. We're gonna see every tree and every piece of snow on the way to Greenville, Maine. Finally, we pull into the station. The conductor lets us off. Greenville, Maine, population 615. There's a big station there with a light, but it's not attended. And the conductor tells us to take a flag out of a box, a red flag on the side of the station, and put it into a flag holder so the train coming the other way will know to stop for us. It's what the railroads call a flag stop. If there's no flag, we don't stop. An hour later, we're standing there in the cold, and we break out into hysterical laughter because, A, we're punch drunk, and B, several hours ago, we were in a retail store in New York City, and now We are out in the middle of nowhere in Maine. An hour later, we hear the siren call of the engine of the train coming the other way. The Canadian Pacific Railroad has all its horns on an A minor chord, and it just sounds like a wailing animal out in the middle of the night. Ooh, ooh, and it echoes off all the mountains every time it blows, and we hear it in the sky, and the air is so crisp and dry, and all the stars are above, and we're in some surreal, something out of a Kafka movie. We're just standing there. Finally, the train pulls up, and the conductor says, "Yeah, they told us you were going to be here. Normally, we wouldn't stop for anyone." So we shuffle back on. We shuffle back up in the dome car. I'm determined to soak in all the snow and trees that I can, but sleep overcomes me, and I sleep the way back to Brownville Junction. We get off there. I fall back asleep in a chair in the station. I get up at 7 a.m. It's sunny out. The station has got the hustle and bustle now of railroad employees going in and out. Now, I don't remember driving back to Bangor, Maine. I don't remember flying the airplane back to Teterboro Airport. I don't remember driving in my car back to 16th Street. Time moved on. The store eventually closed. Johnny Carson moved the Tonight Show over to Burbank. The Olympia Cafe was closed because they shut it down to put up a big skyscraper where it was standing. But it was a day in my life that was a guiding light for the rest of my life. 23 West 45th Street, New York, New York, 10036. Never say never.